up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I tried to make my hair super peaky, like a mountain. I tried.
Next, we've got Steve. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there.
And sometimes that's all we can ask, good isn't answer. It?
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, we got Pete. Pete, glad to have you with us.
Hey, guys. Look, I can't wait to talk about my favorite ride at Animal Kingdom, Expedition Everest. Look at I got my hat on. And then look at this. I got Betty the Yeti Sr., and Betty the Yeti Jr. And we're all excited to talk about Expedition Everest.
Yeah. And because the show we're watching is Expedition Everest. And there was no disco Yeti in it at all.
I know.
Nowhere.
No point did they go backwards. It was crazy.
I mean, talked about ripped up track. I mean, it was just so disappointing. Zero star. No, anyway.
Where was the pile of hairbands?
That's what I was about to say. There were all the little hair ties.
If there's a tradition that can die a very quick death.
Because they didn't make it to the top. We didn't see them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Spoiler.
There it is.
All right, guys. As we are talking, we are watching a show called Expedition Everest. It's a National Geographic documentary. And it follows people. No, Pete. No Yetis.
Okay.
No Yetis, no sunburned. Well, okay, maybe a couple sunburned tourists, but not at anywhere near sea level. It's a National Geographic documentary that follows a group that was putting weather stations up on Mount Everest. And I believe this took place I looked it up. It was either 2020. It was like 21 or 22. So, you can actually go and see the data from the different weather stations they put up there for as long as they lasted. They lasted about 3-4 months, and then they got a blip of data in like January. But other than that, it was too cold, it was too snowy, it was too windy, and the weather stations are not still broadcasting. But you got to see them going, the process it took to go up and the difficulties it took to get up, like the dangers of it. You also got to see how crowded going up Mount Everest really is. That did remind me of Expedition Everest on a long day. So, although the standby line may actually move faster in Disney World.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, guys, for this, what reached the peak for this? So what was worth? Okay. And I know how you guys are going to go. So what was worth watching about this? What made it work? What made it work, if anything? Steve, I'll start with you.
The cinematography, some of the shots were just mind blowing. Just very well done, which I just sort of expect from National Geographic. I'm also going to add, I liked the concept behind it. And I think that's where I'd stop there. I mean, I love science. I love teaching science. So that entire thing, I was fascinated by that. So I'd say those two things.
I agree with you. You said, Steve, I'm going to add specifically, I thought the ice core, doing the ice core and the mud core was kind of interesting, that like what, not just what they were doing and how they were doing it, but also like the information they could get from that. So I thought that aspect of it, and I, and you know, let's always be positive for science, you know, as a show that was trying to teach us some science, and in a world where there's a lot more rhetoric than there is fact. So there were some good points to it. It kept my interest for the time of the show, I think. What about you, Derek?
That's the first thing that worked for me, is it was short. It was a 42, 44, somewhere in there, minute documentary designed for either an hour on the National Geographic Channel, or I think they actually did release this as an IMAX movie also for a time being, just because they like doing these kind of things for IMAX movies, just because of the big pictures.
Right.
And you can kind of tell that with how crisp the images were, was that it was probably originally an IMAX show. I love the fact that they showed that going up Mount Everest is not exploration anymore. It is, you are standing there waiting in line, sometimes for hours, while you're waiting on the one person in front to take a step and a breath and a step and a breath, and then stand there for 20 minutes until you finally realize, hey, wait a minute, there's a deadline we're under. Because there have been times where, I know back in 2016, there was a, no, not 2016, 1996, there was a time where there was a blizzard up there, and because people left too late and stayed up there too long, like 16 people lost their lives up there. Just because they were up
there. They said right on the show that eight people, like earlier in the show, they said eight people died for the same reason, that they stayed up there too long. And yeah.
And I liked the fact that there were the people there that said, we're not here to have to reach the top. We're here to get it as high as possible. We're making the smart decision. Stop here and go down. That kind of a decision, seeing that celebrated instead of, oh, they quit too. No, they did as far as they could safely do, and they knew when to stop. And those kind of decisions that get made, I honestly don't think are celebrated enough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that the whole discretion being the better part of valor, I think, is something that you have to remember as you're going through things.
Mm.
So, okay, anything else that the guys haven't already talked about?
Yeah, Derek 1,000,000,000% stole mine. I guess when I pictured Everest, or climbing Everest,
like a person up there and just him against the mountain.
Yeah. And like the wind, and like you see them with the boots, and like and I didn't picture like, oh, I mean, it's, I'm not going to be like, oh, there's a path and everybody walks the path, but that to totally simplify it, it is that, but that there's little crap like that you have to sit and you have to wait, because everybody goes, it's become such a, for lack of a better term, bucket list item for so many people, that when it's a good weather day, that's when everyone goes. So I thought that was really interesting. I also thought it was really interesting how they showed that, like, they showed old maps where there was just like nothing on the map, because they were like, we don't know, because we've never really been up there. And I thought I as I've gotten older, I have more of an appreciation and an interest in science and the science behind things. So I thought that was really cool that they were trying to take this technology up the mountain. They didn't go all the way up. They did make the right call, but I thought that was interesting. So, there were parts, I'm sure I'll think of something else, but Derek 100% took mine, because I thought that was, in my opinion, the most interesting spot.
Basically, if you've got somewhere between $35,000 and $60,000, it doesn't really matter how good of a shape you're in. You can go try and climb Mount Everest. And at some point, there are ones that will, like, literally the Sherpas will literally like pull you up the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So The other thought part I thought was interesting, you talked about the different ice cores and stuff. The fact that there's that one section of ice there up near the top, that the exposed part of it is 1,000 years old, which just blows my mind. Go ahead, Kate.
The only other thing I thought was so interesting was when they were talking about that they were trying to study global warming because that melting and that is the water source for so many villages. I thought that was so interesting because I didn't, even though like the science is sciencing, of course it is, like this all makes sense, Kate. When they were just explaining, you know, that these ice caps and when things like melt as it goes farther down and the weather gets warmer toward farther down, that it melts and that's the water source. I just thought that was really cool.
Okay. So that's kind of what we liked about it. What fell short of greatness? And Kate, I'll actually let you start on this one.
Oh God, it just didn't hold my attention. It was short. And I just found myself doing this. I found myself yawning. I found myself not being able to stay connected. And I knew that it was going to be hard because National Geographic documentaries tend to be, I love documentaries. I'm not always good with like nature documentaries. However, that one documentary we watched, The Rescue, about them rescuing those kids from that cave, technically that was a little bit of like a man versus nature. And I riveted. I would watch that documentary over and over and over. So, and I don't feel like I like learned a lot. I mean, I learned a little bit, but I don't feel like I like, okay, so they wanted to go up the mountain. They couldn't go up the mountain. There were a lot of people on the mountain. And then they said, nah, we're going to run out of oxygen. So we're just going to put it here. And then then it was over. I don't know. It just didn't hit. It wasn't a hit for me. Steve, what do you think?
The same thing. I felt like they tried to do too much and never really focus on, because you had the mud person, you had the ice person, and you had the weather. And they sort of bounced around, but never really went in depth with anybody. And then it sort of wrapped up and you're going, that's it. They sort of talked to a few people. I mean, I was really fascinated by the ice because I've done some units on that and how you could get information from ice that's thousands of years old by doing an ice core. And I found that fascinated. I also hated the little breaks. I think it was made for television. I think like Derek said, like all of a sudden there's this weird break and then you come back. And I guess wasn't enough information. And I felt like when we got done, you didn't really hit the point you're trying to show.
Yep.
I felt bad for whoever funded this because that seemed like probably an awful lot of money for not much new information, because like, you know, hey, climate change. We found out there's climate change even up here. Yeah, okay, we know that. It's pretty much scientifically proven. So you just proved that there's also climate change on the top of mountains as well as at the bottom of mountains and in the deserts and in the ocean and everywhere else. Okay, good for you.
Yep.
And it probably, as Derek said, you know, $50,000-$60,000 a person to go up there, spent $500,000 to prove that. I don't know. Yep. So I don't feel, as Kate kind of said, I don't feel like I learned that much from this for a scientific expedition. I mean, the concept of a scientific expedition to Everest is good. I had heard about like how crazy Everest has become. I think the author, was it John Krakauer wrote the book Into Thin Air?
Yeah, which is actually about the climbing, but he was part of the 96 blizzard storm group.
Right. Fantastic book. If you want to get a view of like what it's like to like go to those base camps and everything like that, really, really good book. But yeah, it's basically so overcrowded there, but Tibet just wants the money from all the tourists, so they don't limit it at all. And Did I get that right? Nepal?
No. Tibet is the Chinese side.
Okay.
Nepal is the side that all the Westerners go up. So this would have been from the Nepal side.
Yeah. So, you know, and as Derek said, they basically, you know, there's probably not a lot of limits to it. They probably wouldn't let me go up. I don't think. Yeah. There's probably some sort of like weight limit or can health limit.
Climb the Chinese side.
If you can get into China legally.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't really allow people, and it's just basically rich tourists that want to be able to say they made it to the top of Everest. And a lot of those that die are like, I paid all this because like part of you paying that money is you're not guaranteed to make it.
No,
they won't guarantee you get to the top. And a lot of times those people die is they go up and they basically like, I paid all this money, I'm going to the top, and then they don't make it back down. So, I didn't think this was that great. What about you, Derek?
I have definitely seen better Everest documentaries. There's another IMAX one that I think was simply just called Everest. And it follows a crew of people who actual climbers who are going to climb the mountain. And it still shows you all, you know, shows you first. Can we talk about crossing those crevasses on those $20 ladders with spikes on your feet?
I found that fascinating. I mean, to me, that was like.
And see, that's the point where I could never do that. I would never make it across that ladder.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, I saw that and was like, pass.
But when they're sending them
through like paracord. Yeah. I mean, I'm just.
Nope. No, thanks.
But when they're sending them through like the obstacle course, like these scientists who. This is not their normal realm of thing of, oh, yeah, we're sending you through like quick training. And by the way, we're basically claiming like tomorrow. Have fun.
I will say it is the idea of climbing Everest or the idea of doing something that like you have to.
I'm gonna call a timeout real quick here because I'm afraid you're going to jump into the third.
No, I'm not. It is beyond my realm of thinking because I haven't really done something like this of like, no, you don't just like drive up to the base camp. Like you have to hike to the base camp and you have to stop for several days before you get to the base camp to acclimate yourself.
And when you get to the base camp to the top is like 2 months.
It's like, and that is just so hard for me to wrap my head around because how easy is it to write, oh, I want to run a marathon. I want to, but, and this will lead into the next question, but a friend of mine's dad has been to base camp. Mm-hmm. That's as far as he's gone. It's just to base camp. Where like when I hear base camp, it's like, oh, let's just go drive our Ford Explorer to the base camp. Like, this really is a big deal what these people are doing. The fact that there are so many people that make it past the base camp really is a huge deal, but it's just something that is so hard for me to understand because I don't do anything like that because all of those people who have passed away on Everest were once highly motivated people. And so I just tell myself to calm down a little bit.
That's what you get for having too much motivation.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kate kind of led into this. What if I'm gonna say is there something like this that you would like to try? Or I'm gonna go kind of a secondary thing on this of is there something you would love to be able to see or somewhere on, you know, somewhere you would like to be able to go? Put aside physical conditioning, put aside that kind of stuff. Or maybe the going and seeing stuff. But is there something like this you would like to try? Or is there something like this you would like to, like, I know the whole go see what's on top of Mount Everest. Is there something along those lines? And I can start if you guys are thinking about it. For me, I would want to go the other direction. I would want to go down like bottom of the ocean in a reputable, scientifically proven submersible. Like me and James Cameron go down together, or me and Jacques Cousteau's boy go down together. Somewhere where I know I'm going to say, just because the ocean has always fascinated me.
Like to go see the Titanic, like the real Titanic.
The Marianas Trench. And see what's down there. See what animals might be down there. Because so much of the ocean is unexplored. That's the place we haven't explored yet. Mm-mm. So that's kind of, if I'm going to go someplace like way out and about, it's that, or to me, that's what came to my mind first. So Kate, how about you?
I did the one thing. I've been skydiving. That was going to be my, like, I would want to go skydiving, but I did that and it was awesome. It was really, really cool. And then I was like, okay, well, I would go see the Titanic. And then a part of me was like, nope, I'm good. Cause that feeling, even just like thinking about it, the feeling of being that far underwater in an open ocean makes it hard for me to breathe. Like that, I feel like that is like the ultimate claustrophobic to me.
See, for me, that's a similar feeling I get with the idea of jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Oh. See, I'm not a super nature person.
Fine.
Like, I don't. So maybe I would want to do something like
a house or the pyramids or something like that. You'd like.
Well, I was going to say like bike across the United States.
Okay.
Like something where it's not crazy, crazy, crazy dangerous. It's hard, but I will never do this, by the way. But I the idea of like, I'm going to go spelunking in caves and I'm going to dive to the pit of the earth. Like I've never been a nature driven person. So even the idea of let me think about it. I don't think my answer is going to be something in a nature aspect, though. Steve, what about you?
Mine's with Derek. Derek, I'll come and join you.
Okay.
I mean, I thought going deep into the ocean, again, it'd have to be like guaranteed safe.
Yes.
But just fascinating of, that's what fascinates me. Like when I go to aquarium, just fascinated because we don't know a lot about it. That's where I'd want to go. Kate, I also think about you. I think about when I was younger, of like running marathons.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did it once, I wanted to do it again. And sort of became that, oh, a small percentage of this, if I do it again, I'm even in a smaller group. Mm-hmm. So sort of that thing. But mm-hmm. the deep depths of the ocean, yes, I'd be all mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. Pete, what would you do?
Pete's not going to go deep. So where's Pete going to go?
Yeah, I'm not going to go up or down. So I got two. One is I've always, for some reason, wanted to see what used to be called Ayers Rock, and now they call it Uluru, which is in the center of Australia. It's this big red rock. We went to Australia, and I actually looked into it, and it's not that you have to hike to it or anything, but it's really hard to. It's really hard to get to. You got to fly to the middle of Australia, and then you have to go for like 2 days in a car, and it's so we didn't do it, and I don't regret that we didn't do it, but it's also like kind of like that would be really cool. The other thing I'd like to try that maybe is more realistic, though I don't even know how you do this, is I don't really want to go into space, but I'd love to try, you know, they have the plane where they train the astronauts and it goes like up and down.
Oh, Vomit Comet.
Vomit Comet.
I'd love to do that.
The Vomit Comet.
Yeah, the Vomit Comet. I would. What?
That's what its nickname is. It's you basically, it goes up and does parabolic arcs. And when it's down, you're weightless.
Right.
No, thank you.
I would.
Yes. Woo.
I would love to, like Apollo 13, they filmed all the weightless scenes.
In
the Vomit Comet. So I would probably puke, but just to experience that once, I would be willing to puke.
To fly the plane.
No, I don't want to fly the plane.
No, no, she would love to fly the up and down.
So. I would. I actually would. I did think of one, and I will never do this because I don't particularly have any desire to go to this part of the world. I also don't think it would be particularly safe, but as somebody who was raised in a community of faith, I wouldn't mind going and walking like where Jesus walked, going to Jerusalem, walking, actually like traveling that I know, see, and I will never do it. I don't tend to really leave the United States, partly because I've convinced myself that like, I'm going to find a way to break a law and then end up in jail forever in another country. So it's fine. But I wouldn't mind if I could go anywhere knowing it was 100% safe, really traveling places from the Old Testament, I think would be really interesting. Or New Testament, sorry, New Testament would be interesting.
Old Testament, you can start getting up into Iraq in that area too.
Yeah. And again, this won't happen. Yeah. And I know there's going to be people who are like, oh my God, we have tours at our church for that. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. I will say some of the coolest pictures. My grandparents did that trip and came back with all sorts of, like, he took slide pictures of it. So I've seen that trip and he narrated it all. And it's just, I have that somewhere. So, and it's in a way to hear the voice of my grandfather. Like,
oh, cool.
For 20 some years. So
now something I might do is go and visit my family heritage in Italy. But see, none of these have to, everything I'm saying doesn't have to do with like nature. It's not like,
oh,
and go climb Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, one of mine was nature, but even that, it's not like going out. Why do I have like this thing flickering?
I have no idea. You have like a hair in
front of it's a hair in front of my camera.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't see anything. That's what it was.
Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, I it's not, you know, I do want to say, like, as far as if you for religious things, and I am not religious, but like going to Rome and seeing the Vatican and all that stuff is really amazing. And it would not have been high on my list, but my wife wanted to do it. And it was, I liked it so much more than I thought I was going to.
Just don't do what a tour group from the school my dad used to teach at. It was the choir group going there. And there are these big signs, no singing in the Sistine Chapel, no singing in the Sistine Chapel. And their choir director was convinced, well, once they hear us, they will just be Lord. So moved. And they got thrown out of the Sistine Chapel.
Well, there's a story, though.
Stupid she is. But anyway, so, guys, I know it was short, but we do this for everything. Cups of Pixar's out of 5, rating it, and I'm going to say rating it as a documentary. Okay? Kate?
How else would you rate it?
Well,
1.5.
Okay. Okay.
2. Like, I want to give it a 2. You know what? I'll give it a 2 because there were parts of it that I was like, oh, that was really interesting. I'll give it a 2.
I'm agreed, Kate. 2. I mean, there's parts that I liked, but 2.
Yeah, I don't think I could recommend this even as a documentary. I've seen a lot better things. And, you know, actually, right after we watched this, ended up watching one of Bear Grylls' things, and I enjoyed that more, which is saying something because that stuff's really stupid. So, so I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, we're gonna go straight 2s across the board. It is by far not the worst thing we have watched, lately. But there are much better Everest documentaries on there.
Yes.
In point of full disclosure, this one was chosen because A, it was fairly short. B, it was not an infomercial, because the one we had originally talked about is that Epcot Becoming. Nothing but an infomercial. Although I will say, I did go back and rewatch that one, and they have updated with Luminous is the show they talk about. They don't talk about Stargate Harmonious anymore.
Well, that's good.
So, but it's still nothing but an infomercial. So, and it's not really that great. So, but we've got a lot of vault shows coming up. We've got a lot of older stuff coming up, and I wanted to try and keep something a little bit shorter. And I know because we got some people out there that love documentaries. So, okay, Kate, What have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yes. Okay. So only two things. First of all, the previously announced Witch Mountain series has been canceled before it started production by Disney. There has been no official word on why it was given the axe.
Because as Pete said, why would you want original content on your streaming service?
Yeah, that.
Even if it's not great, which I'm almost convinced if Acolyte costs as much to make as they say it costs, it's not going to stay on the service very long just because they're going to have to write it off like they have some of the other stuff.
Yeah. And last but not least, Ahsoka announced today that season two of the show will not begin shooting until summer 2025, likely meaning a release sometime in 2026. And that's it for the Disney Plus news.
Yeah. All right. So next week, we are going back to the cultural fad of 1954 and into 1955. We're going to watch Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. Now, this was originally five episodes that was made into two movies. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier is like the first one, the first and like the last two episodes of it. So you kind of get the feel for the whole story. There is also Davy Crockett and the River Pirates. That one we will not be, that's not going to be the one we're watching. This one is literally Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, because I'm honestly surprised we haven't watched this one yet in the almost four complete years that we've been doing this. So
this is very classic Walt era Disney.
Yes. Correct. This and Zorro, which we've already watched, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. These were originally done on the Disneyland TV show. So, but this is very much, yes, this is when Walt was so truly involved in just about everything.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I mean, people don't remember today, but this thing was hugely popular. And when I say hugely, we're talking like Avengers or, you know, that level of popularity. Well, there's nothing today that's that popular because there's so much more out there, but that's the closest I can come. Okay, how about Taylor Swift popular?
I was going to say put Avengers and Star Wars together popular.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, this was huge. And we will discuss that again more next week. Guys, if you do have suggestions on what we should watch, especially if you've got documentary suggestions, like good documentary suggestions, please email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. You can always email us at YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We do want to thank everyone for being here this week and for being here last week for our Mary Poppins trivia show. Guys, shoot us comments. Let us know if you want us to do more of those. It will not happen every week because we've been there, done that, and nobody wanted to keep those t-shirts. But we will do it sometimes if we've got really shows that everyone has seen. If it was my parents' age, everyone would have seen Davy Crockett. But my age, Pete, me, Steve, and younger, most people have probably not seen Davy Crockett as much. So, guys, we have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.